Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with livestock market economist Dr. Daryl Peel, talking mama cow numbers and more in just a moment. Checking in on the Beef Checkoff, Heather Buckmaster with the Oklahoma Beef Council joins us. Heather, let's talk about some of the continuing international efforts that Beef Checkoff dollars are being invested into.
As our final reports rolled in for fiscal year 20, despite the challenges due to COVID-19, we still had successful beef promotions in Japan and South Korea. For instance, in Japan, Oklahoma Beef Checkoff funds helped drive 180,000 pounds of U.S. beef sales in a retail promotion featuring a unique combination of check eye roll steak, inside and outside round, short plate, tongue, and intestines. And I have to say, those aren't typical items you would see in a retail feature in the U.S., which demonstrates why the export market is important to U.S. beef producers. In South Korea, another retail promotion funded in part by the Oklahoma Beef Council drove the sales of 330,000 pounds of U.S. beef, and this promotion featured beef short ribs and LA ribs.
Thanks, Heather. For more on how your beef checkoff dollars are being invested, go to oklabeef.org, click on Cattleman's Corner. Coming up on the end of the year, livestock market economist Dr. Daryl Peel joining us once again. Daryl, let's talk a little bit about that cattle inventory report that comes up end of January each year. What are you thinking that it may tell us in regards to the mama cow herd in the country for January 1, 2021?
You know, I think we're going to come in being down a half to maybe 1%. I think some of my colleagues are a little more feeling that we've liquidated a bit more. I'm probably not quite as strong in that camp. I do think we're liquidating, I'm going to call it relatively slowly. I don't think it's a pronounced cyclical liquidation, but I think we are drifting lower a little bit in these numbers based on what we see for beef cow slaughter through the year, as well as the heifer numbers and the heifer slaughter. I think we're just, again, slowly getting those numbers a little bit tighter through 2020, and that's what we'll be working with going through 2021.
Advice for our cattle producers: How do they deal in the new year? What do they need to be doing to make sure that they've got best chance to hopefully do better than in 2020?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, the real hope is that 2021 is more of a year to go, kind of go back on offense and think about what you want to do, what your plans and objectives are, your longer term strategy. Again, that may not happen right at the first of the year, and I think you have to be prepared still for quite a bit of volatility, and so that means risk management is a very important factor. But certainly, as you think past that into the second half of the year, I think you can start looking for opportunities. You know, out of adversity, typically opportunities arise, and so we need to be looking for those. And I think there's reasons to expect that there will be some new opportunities. And how do you want to be positioned to take advantage of them?
I guess overall, given all the craziness that we had first with the fire in Garden City, and then obviously COVID during the March, April, May time period, especially, just surviving is something to be proud of.
Well, it is. I mean, we've just had so many big bad things that have jumped up that have, and they've thrown things at us we've never seen before. I mean, the packing plant fire in 2019, we've seen that before. It was a big shock to people. It's been a lot of years since we had anything like that, but we got through that relatively quickly. COVID-19 was obviously a whole new deal. We've never seen anything like that. It was a lot of challenge, a lot of frustrations. We learned a lot about how our industry works. I think some of that was a bit of a shock to some people. But out of that, one of the positives is that we do understand kind of how things work better now, and we kind of know what to expect. So we will be stronger when this is all over than we were before, and that's probably a positive.
Daryl, one last question as regards to demand for our beef product. How worried or how concerned are you in regards to the winter season and all these lockdowns we're starting to see in various states in regards to restaurants? Seems like that's may really hurt us when it comes to the restaurant food service trade.
Well, it is. I mean, the food service sector is still restricted overall, so we're not back to normal things there. We're making up for it by and large in terms of beef demand with the retail grocery side. But that means that there are still some product issues between those supply chains. Those are ongoing issues. I think right now where we stand, here just ahead of the holidays, I think the holiday period will be important in setting the stage then for January and probably into February, depending on, sort of how the movement is, if you will. In other words, do we go ahead and see quite a bit of beef movement at retail as well, at retail grocery, but at food service as well? And if that movement is pretty good and we don't see a lot of slowdowns, if you will, then I think the stage is set for, you know, even more positive news as we go forward.
Dr. Darrell Peel, you've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
The commodities markets are an integral part of the U.S. economy. Each business day, futures contracts trade in the energy, financial, and agricultural markets. Hi, I'm Curtis Ward, president of KIS Futures. Our firm executes futures and options and provides risk management strategies for our clients who hedge. Our team also provides full-service brokerage while offering free quotes and charts, free market reports, market text messages, futures market tutorials, and real-time account information. For more information about our trading services, give us a call at 1-800-256-2555 or log on to our website at kisfutures.com.
And that's your Beef Buzz. Have a great day. I'm Ron Hayes.